Welcome to the USCHoops.com College Basketball Podcast. USCHoops.com College Basketball Podcast is the original podcast covering USC Trojans men's college basketball team and is available on such platforms as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn, as well as at the USCHoops.com website. If you haven't done so already, we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a 5-star rating and left a review on the platform of your choice. And welcome back, everyone. So if this is our, I think the first time we've done this, right, Nick? I don't think we've done this before where we have two podcasts in one day. So if you haven't listened to our earlier podcast, go ahead and find that one. And that one talks about things like the Pac-12 tournament and our views on the matchup against Michigan State and just some news in the Pac-12. This podcast is going to be our picks for the NCAA tournament, which, thank God, USC is actually playing it. So this is Chase, as always, joined by Nick. Nick, before we start this, what is your number one global takeaway from? I didn't preview that you're going to have to answer this question, so you're going to answer cold. What is your number one takeaway when you saw the bracket released yesterday?
Memphis being just criminally underseeded. I think, you know, they're probably like 4-seed good, maybe 5-seed good. I think giving them an 8 is insane. It's almost like the tournament selection committee didn't even watch like their championship game against Houston, where they, you know, even though Marcus Sasser was out, and that's a huge part of their team, but they were amazing in that game, and Kendrick Davis went off. So by screwing Memphis, you also screwed FAU, who has to play them in first rounds, and then Purdue in a second round matchup as well.
And you know, I think it's almost as a corollary, the underseeding of FAU. I mean, I think you can make the argument that FAU, Florida Atlantic, who, you know, kind of came on our radar when they went up against that Florida Gulf Coast team that we lost to and just obliterated it and then followed up. You know, Conference USA is, I mean, it's hard. It's not obviously the conference it used to be because the American poached a lot of their top teams. So they're now just really a one-bid conference, but they're not like a doormat conference. And I mean, there's a couple other top 100 Ken Pom teams in there, North Texas, UAB, and they finished season 30. Was it 30-3? Pretty impressive. And their reward for doing so is to play Memphis. So this is, I think, arguably, I mean, we have two non power conference schools playing there. I think this is arguably one of the most powerful first round matchups we've ever seen for two non-power conference teams in the NCAA tournament. I mean, we have to go back and look, but it's hard to imagine a better one really than if our first round matchup than these two going at each other.
Yeah, no doubt. Florida Atlantic also won in Gainesville. And this is back when Florida had Colin Castleton, who kind of sneakily was one of the best players in the country this year. He was awesome. That team was not good, but he was like in the top 10 in the Ken Pom ratings for a while before he got hurt. And he ended up going for 30-12-5 in that game. But FAU did manage to hit enough threes to win. But, you know, great season for Dusty May's program for sure.
So I think my first over like global takeaway probably was just how tough the West potentially is. Now, I know UCLA is going to be without Jalen Clark. I'm assuming Bona will be back. So it's not quite the same UCLA team. But then you have a Gonzaga team that's looked better and better and better. As a three, I mean, it's hard. You know, when we talk about three seeds, you know, Baylor, Kansas State, and Xavier, I would take Gonzaga heads up against all those schools easily. So that's... those are two tough teams. And you have the defending champion, Kansas. Now, I know Kansas will sometimes, you know, they're hot and cold in the tournament. Sometimes they make big runs and other times they kind of flame out. But, you know, then they're going to have to face potentially in the second round either an Illinois team or an Arkansas team that have both teams have talent. Arkansas, you know, has two lottery picks on their team. UConn is in that bracket. It's they just seem to, and this is why when people were saying, like I mentioned the other podcast, they're like, oh, they kind of screwed USC by not putting him in the West. It's like, no, I don't want to be in the West with those those teams. That's I think just to me, it's a much more powerful conference than kind of, or not a conference, a more powerful region than kind of any of the other three regions. That's at least my takeaway.
So here's a question for you, Chase. So Kansas is the blank best team in the West.
I would say fully healthy, they're the third best team in the West. However, without Jalen Clark, UCLA, I think maybe they're the second best team in the West. But then again,
okay.
UConn is a real argument there. So that's, we basically, it is a situation here where you have four different teams that kind of had their own run as like the top team in the country. Gonzaga, like at the preseason point, UConn early in the season and right after the Thanksgiving period. UCLA kind of had that argument for a lot of this last month and a half or so, in Kansas, kind of contemporaneous with that. So yeah, it's tough. I mean, this is a 7-loss Kansas team, and they're going up against, the 2, 3, and 4 seeds have fewer losses.
Yeah, I think I'd have them fourth. I think I'd say fourth to that question.
Yeah.
But I'm not like a huge Kansas guy. Maybe they'll come out of it, but they definitely didn't get any favors from the committee. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, which region do you think we should tackle first here?
We can just do it in order of the ESPN bracket. So maybe start with the South and then go to the Midwest and then, East and West from there.
Okay. So up in the South, we have the first round matchup. Alabama's going to take on the winner of Texas A&M Corpus Christi and Southeast Missouri State. I have no idea who's going to win between. Do you have a pick between A&M Corpus Christi and Southeast Missouri State?
I don't. I just blindly picked all the one seeds on this. So no idea. I mean, maybe like you get a UMBC Virginia situation, but just not expecting either of these two to push Bama.
No, I don't expect it either. Okay. First interesting game, Maryland against West Virginia. This is kind of, to me, the game's in Birmingham. The most interesting part of this to me is that all season we've kind of, or like not all season, last several weeks we talked about how good West Virginia can be at times. And Maryland's kind of just been out there. They lost to UCLA by 30. I mean, everything is telling me that to pick West Virginia here, I'm going to do it ultimately. But these are the kind of games that kind of get you screwed up because you're just so sure of yourself. And then a team like Maryland maybe pulls off an upset. But I'm going with West Virginia here.
I am going with West Virginia as well. Do you know how many road games Maryland won this year? True road games.
I'm going to guess two.
Two is correct. And the teams they beat were Louisville and Minnesota. They were great at home. So you got to give them credit for that. And that really pumped their computer numbers. So they, except against UCLA when they, got wiped at Maryland's, but they beat Wisconsin by 18 at home. They beat Indiana by 11 at home. They beat Purdue by 14 at home, Northwestern by 16 at home. So they kind of like, they're 22 in KenPom, but they were able to rack up their, that rating just by like blowing out teams at home, even though they no-showed on the road. So West Virginia to me, I mean, they're more tested. They have some good road wins in their profile. They won at Iowa State, which is a very tough place to play, at Texas Tech. They beat Florida on a neutral by 29 with Castleton. So I think they're just a little bit better than Maryland.
Okay, so now we got another one of these mid-major matchups. It's really an intriguing one. College of Charleston, which had a tremendous year, 31-3, going up against the Aztecs, San Diego State. Mountain West Conference has had a dickens of a time recently at the NCAA tournament. This seems to be like a decent candidate for an upset. Charleston's number 73 in KenPom. KenPom has like San Diego State winning this game by 6 pretty comfortably. The game is in Orlando, right? So I don't know. I'm going to throw it to you first. Where do you got on this one?
I'm going to take the Aztecs here. Don't love the Mountain West either. It's hard to love kind of what they've done in the tournament historically. And even, you know, Brian Dutcher is a great coach, and he hasn't won a tournament game there. And this is year six for him. But at the same time, like, you know, their best team that he had was that Malachi Flynn team, and you had the COVID thing. And I like San Diego State's trajectory. So since February 2nd, they are the number six team in Corvik. So they've been playing really well lately. And I just think they'll have enough defensively to get out of that game.
College of Charleston was a team that back in the late 90s had some really tough, you know, really good teams. They kind of got on the map a little bit. ESPN used to talk about them. They haven't been there recently, and then all of a sudden they come back here with this team this year, 31-3. It's such a juicy pick here for an upset. I'm not a huge fan of these. I mean, San Diego State is a great defensive team. Charleston is more up tempo than San Diego State. I'm gonna go with the upset. What the heck? I'll pick the upset and go with Charleston here. I don't love it, but I think it's potential for an upset. I'm sorry, San Diego State fans. So you guys are all nice people. You don't deserve bad picks from me. Okay. Following up, going or down the line here, Virginia and Furman, also Orlando. Furman, another kind of intriguing mid-major. I know a lot of people have kind of picked that they're kind of a trendy pick to beat, knock off Virginia. This is kind of a weak Virginia team, a little bit weird. I don't know, though. I kind of like the going with Virginia here when everyone is picking Furman for the upset. What's your pick here?
I'm taking Furman. So I really like their offense. They're a very experienced team. Jalen Slauson, just a stud for them. True three-level scorer. They're pretty good at the line. They're tops of the country in two-point percentage offense. And just like Virginia's trajectory is not great, right? Like they dropped a late game at Boston College, kind of got run out of the gym there. North Carolina beat them. They were able to beat Louisville and Clemson and a few of these other teams, but you know, they scored 49 against Duke. And you've kind of seen this over and over again where Virginia plays like a, you know, decent team in the tournament and they can't overwhelm you athletically. I don't think they have any NBA players on their team. So I just think, why not? Right.
Okay. Over to Denver. Creighton against NC State. I think this is the time of year where the better teams kind of will come together, more talent. I just like Creighton here. I think they'll beat NC State.
Yeah, I think so too. They're 13th in KenPom, so they're definitely underseeded relative to their computer numbers. A big reason they're not a top 10 KenPom team is because Ryan Kalkbrenner, who's their best player, got hurt. And while he was out, they lost all three of those games to BYU, ASU, and Marquette. So played good opponents. Two of those were within 3 points. And then losing at Marquette without Kalkbrenner, there's no shame in that. I think Creighton's really good. NC State, the one thing I would watch for is Jarkel Joyner and Terquavion Smith. They're kind of these combo-y guards who can really get going, and they have both athleticism and shot making ability. So if one of those guys gets hot, I think NC State could pull it off, but I like Creighton.
Another interesting game here is UCSB, the Big West winner, pretty decent program under Pasternak, right? With some legit high major players. They have Miles Norris and Andre Kelly from Cal. They're going against Baylor. This is actually a game where I think, you know, like Santa Barbara could give Baylor some problems here. I think Baylor's going to win this, but I think Santa Barbara could definitely give them some problems for a while.
That's where I'm at too. You can throw Miles Norris in there as well. And Oregon transfer, he's had a really nice year for them statistically. So they've got guys like, I don't ultimately think they pull it off. But they, I think 2 years ago, right, they had that really solid team, and they actually played Creighton and lost by, I think, 1 point as 12 seed. So I think they hang around. Baylor's kind of struggling right now. They've lost 4 of 6 here, but ultimately, I think Flagler and Cryer, there's just enough there where one of them hits like a late three and they get through it.
I know you really like Utah State. They're going against Missouri. The game's in Sacramento. Seems like a good like regional matchup. I mean, just easier trip for Utah State. What do you think they got a shot here, or the Aggies?
Yeah, I think they pull it off. I'm pretty sure they're favored. Would be surprised if they're not, but they're up to 18 in KenPom now. The only loss there in the last several weeks was San Diego State, who's also playing really good ball right now. So in that stretch, they had a road loss at San Jose State, who's actually had a pretty good year with Omari Moore. And since then, they smoked Air Force, smoked Nevada, won at Wyoming handily. They won at UNLV by 25. They beat Boise by 13. Beat New Mexico by 15. Beat Boise by 10 before losing that game to San Diego State. So really good trajectory. They're super skilled, and Missouri's been one of the luckiest teams this year. So yeah, give me the Aggies.
Okay, and then finishing off Sacramento, we have Arizona against Princeton. I just don't think Princeton's got n nearly enough here to slow down Arizona. I see cats rolling here.
Yeah, I would be shocked if it's close. I'll go Arizona by 20.
Okay, we'll do the second rounds here, and then maybe we'll move on to the next bracket and do the Sweet 16 all as a group. We both have Alabama going against West Virginia here. Look, West Virginia can make this interesting. The game is in Birmingham, though. I'm going to go with Alabama.
Yeah, as long as Brandon Miller plays and doesn't get arrested, give me the Tide.
At the bottom half, we have two completely different games. You've got San Diego against Furman. I've got Charleston against Virginia. I don't know how we reconcile this, but who do you think is going to the Sweet 16?
So I in the way I do the brackets, oftentimes I'll pick the upset, but usually those teams crap out in the second rounds, and I think that happens here. So I'll take San Diego State to go to the Sweet 16.
And I'll take Virginia to go to the Sweet 16. Okay, we both have Creighton against Baylor here. This is a really intriguing matchup, for second round of the tournament. Gosh, I'm gonna go with Creighton, I think.
Yeah, I like Creighton as well. I think they're just a little bit better than Baylor, even though Baylor's seeded higher.
Okay, then we got Utah State against Arizona. Based upon some games Arizona's played this season, you could definitely see this game being a little tricky for Arizona. I do think they pull away at the end. I think they win by double digits.
I'm a little more bullish on Utah State. Agree with you that Arizona is just a little bit better. I think it's probably like a high single digit game, but Utah State can score with them. They're super skilled, and Arizona kind of has inconsistent defensive efforts. So I won't be shocked if this is like a 48-48 game at the half.
Okay. Who are you picking to win?
Give me the Cats, Arizona.
Okay. So let's move over to the Midwest. Houston playing against Northern Kentucky. I think neither one of us think Houston's going to have a problem there, even if Sasser doesn't play. Okay. First round matchup here, 8-9, Iowa Auburn. Both of these teams have had disappointment. What's the story? The 8-9s, they always have disappointments here and there. Very different than the Memphis FAU matchup, by the way. I think I'm going to go here with Bruce Pearl. I guess he was once a coach on Iowa staff. I'm going to go with Bruce Pearl, to his team to beat Iowa here. I'm not a huge fan of the way Iowa plays in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, exactly right. That's my logic too. McCaffrey, like, his teams just never play any defense, and that catches up to them in March. And I kind of think that Auburn on the offensive glass is going to be a problem for Iowa too. I mean, Broom's such a dynamic athlete, and I think that's going to show through here.
Okay, so this is an interesting. I everyone I hear talk about this game seems to think that Miami is just going to beat Drake. I have not heard the report on Omier, is it pronounced Omier?
I think it's just Omier.
Yeah. Omier. He had a pretty badly twisted ankle in that last game that they played in against Duke. And, you know, he's a really important part of their team. His rebounding is just off the charts compared to everyone else. I'm not sure if he's healthy. And I kind of like this, like a kind of game where, so Drake's top player is the coach's son. His name is Jacob DeVries.
Tucker DeVries.
Tucker. I keep saying Jacob. Tucker DeVries. Tucker DeVries. I kind of like Drake in this game. I'm especially, Miami made that run last year. Sometimes teams make runs 1 year and then like the next year they just kind of flame out. I like Drake here.
Yeah, I like Drake as well. I think Tucker DeVries is the best pro prospect in this game. I mean, he's super skilled, and you know, he would have gone high major for sure if there's not wasn't the coach at Drake. But then on top of that, they're very experienced. I mean, Roman Penn has played a lot of big time games in his career. He started at in 2018 at Siena. They defend; they're good on both sides of the ball. And you know, a lot of these guys are that we played in the first round in 2021 are still there. Like Garrett Sturts. It's kind of like a utility guy, just jack of all trades guy. DJ Wilkins, a senior. Darnell Brody's a senior. And, you know, they rebound really well on the defensive side. So I think even if Omier plays, they'll be okay there. If you look at Torvik, like since here's a trivia question. So since February 2nd, what is Drake's Torvik rating in just games since February 2nd?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, if you're asking, so I'm going to say the top 20.
Yeah. So Drake is number 12. So yeah. They're playing really well right now. Meanwhile, Miami's 39, and Miami hasn't even been like that great throughout the year. I mean, they're 40 in KenPom. So even KenPom only has Miami as a 2-point favorite. So this seems like just the prime upset pick, I think.
Another team that's been playing really well is Kent State from the MAC. They won 22 of the last 25 games. Early in the season, two of the losses were a 5-point loss at Houston, a 7-point loss at Gonzaga. So they played some really, they played College of Charleston, lost by 2 on the road. I mean, pretty competitive games. They looked really good this season. They're going up against Indiana. That's a lot of people are picking Indiana. I'm sorry, are picking Kent State to upset Indiana. And yet, I'm going to go with Indiana here. Game is in Albany.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Indiana as well. Kent State's not great on the defensive glass. It's kind of their big deficiency. And it kind of just feels like a game where Trace Jackson Davis wills at home, maybe like in spite of inferior guard play for Indiana. But I do think it'll be close. I don't think Indiana beats them by 20 or anything like that.
Okay, heading over to Greensboro, we have Iowa State against the winner of Mississippi State, Pittsburgh. So let's talk for it. This is our first kind of like key first four matchup, Mississippi State, Pittsburgh. I'm just, you know, look, I can't get over this like Pittsburgh thing. For all I know, they'll probably win this game, but I'm going to pick Mississippi State to beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah, me too. I think Pitt's terrible. Even if they win, they're not deserving. So yes. Bulldogs.
Okay, so I am a pretty decent fan of just like kind of like the grittiness of the Iowa State team. They're not like some beautiful team to watch basketball, but they just kind of keep coming at you. They play tough defense. They're just kind of always playing tough. I like them here. I you know, the game is in the South, so you know there's going to be a little bit of a benefit for Mississippi State if their fans turn out. I kind of doubt they will, because they'd have to be coming over from Dayton anyway. So I'm going to go with Iowa State here.
I like Iowa State too. They also won two games in the tournament as an 11 seed last year. So kind of the Otzelberger style does translate to March. A lot of those players are back on this team too. But yeah, they're good. I think like they just had such a tough conference schedule. They started running out of gas, but then they, you know, were able to pull off back-to-back wins against Baylor. So there's still enough there that I think they win here.
So we have now Sean Miller returning to the NCAA tournament for the first time since, I think, did they play the 20 season? I guess they did No, well, what happened there? That was the COVID year, it was canceled. So Sean Miller, I don't think, has been to the NCAA tournament since 2018. Am I right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So okay. So Xavier's back. It's a team that, you know, doesn't get, unless you watch Fox Sports 1 basketball, they're not on television a ton. So, you know, I didn't see them quite enough this year. I know they put up some impressive numbers at different times. I don't really have a read on Kennesaw State. I don't have a reason to think that they would beat Xavier.
No, I like Xavier. Just too good at, you know, 1 through 5. They're very balanced. Don't have like a ton of star power. Sule Boom's been a key transfer for them. But yeah, even without, you know, the analysts are going to make a big deal about Zach Fremantle being out. And he's a really good player, and their offense has definitely, you know, gone down in the rankings since he's been out. But their defense has actually gotten better. So yeah, in the last month plus, they're still a top 20 team in Torvik.
This is really one of the kind of the key interesting 7-10 matchups, first round matchups. Texas A&M, Penn State, they both just played in their respective conference tournament final, both lost. Texas A&M, we talked in the prior broadcast, just how much kind of they got screwed here. But this is a tough game. It's not, you know, just because they're underseeded doesn't mean they're going to win. Penn State has, you know, they can do some tough things. The game is in Des Moines. Gosh, this is a genuinely tough pick for me. And I guess I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with Penn State.
Wow. I am taking the Aggies. So I like their recent trends. They are the number 5 team in the country since December 31st. So you have a long track record there, a positive trend with them. I think Penn State is good. I like them. It might even be underseeded. I think you can make the case for them as a 9. But a lot of their recent wins have been close. And I don't think like they've played some elite level of basketball over the last month or anything like that, even though they're like beating a lot of these key teams by a few points. So,
I want to make it clear that the objective standards here says Texas A&M should win this game. I just objectively, pretty clearly to me, but I just had this feeling of one of these like counterintuitive things. So we'll see if I'm totally off on that. Any reason to think that Colgate's going to give Texas a tough time?
Don't think so. Colgate is a pretty good 15, but you know, I think they're playing really well right now, and they're a very experienced team, so I think they'll get through it.
I mean, now 15s have beaten 2s. It's not like the 16-1 when there's only been 1. 15s have beaten 2s, and Colgate, I think, is a really good 3-point shooting team, right? But I that would really shock me. Okay, are we moving over now to the East, or are we going to go to the West?
Well, I guess we can do, should we do round 2? Are we doing like round 2?
How could I forget? We're doing round 2. Okay. We both have Houston against, Auburn in the second round. I'm assuming Sasser's going to play here. Assuming he does, I'd like Houston. If he's not, then, you know, you have to start talking about maybe Auburn winning this game, but where do you see this?
Yeah, I kind of think Houston's just a better version of Auburn, actually. Like, yeah. Both very good on the offensive glass, both talented. Houston more talented. I think Samson's like a little bit better of a coach than Pearl, even though I like Pearl. So yeah, I like the Cougars here.
Okay, so we both have Drake against Indiana. The game is in Albany. You know, 2 Midwest teams kind of heading over to upstate New York. This is a good game to pick a Drake upset, but I'm going to go with Indiana, I think.
I will take Drake. Just think they have the bodies to throw at Jackson Davis. Think their guards are better. And it just seems like the kind of game where DeVries can hit a few. And, you know, Drake, I actually wouldn't be surprised if they won this game by like 10 or 15. But
we'll see. All right. Interesting. Okay. We both got Iowa State against Xavier here. I'm going to go with, I actually like Iowa State against Xavier. I know Xavier put up some really impressive season. They have some good numbers. I don't want to denigrate them. Maybe it's just a bias of me having watched quite enough of Xavier play, but I kind of like Iowa State here.
I'm going to take Xavier here. Definitely don't feel great about it, but I just trust their shot making a little more. And I kind of wonder if Iowa State's style of play, in terms of they just wreck havoc and force a ton of turnovers, If Xavier can, they don't turn the ball over a ton, I think that'll make them a little less effective on defense. Iowa State, that is. So I'll take Xavier to get through.
Okay, so you've got an interesting match. I mean, really, the matchup that's projected, Texas A&M against Texas, that's a heck of a game, by the way. If it's
Yeah.
Penn State, it's not quite as interesting a game. I would have Texas beating Penn State. Where are you with Texas, Texas A&M?
I'll take the Longhorns. Just think they've been a little more consistent throughout the year, but wouldn't be surprised at all if the Aggies won it.
Okay, so are we moving to the east or are we doing the west?
We can do the East first.
Okay, we'll do the east. Purdue against the winner of Fairleigh Dickinson and Texas Southern. I'm just going to take Purdue there.
Yeah, it's too much Zach Edey.
Okay, so this is maybe the matchup of the first round, Memphis against Florida Atlantic. Wow. I'm going to go with Memphis here, recognizing Florida Atlantic, I think, is really tough. I think it's just a little too much talent athleticism with Memphis. So I'm going to go with the Tigers.
Yeah, I'm going with the Tigers as well. The trajectory is just so good, and Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams are playing at such a high level right now. I think that Memphis is the toughest team they've played all year, right? So, like, I do think the Owls have had a great season, but they haven't quite seen a team like as good as Memphis and a team as hot as Memphis. So, I'll take the Tigers.
Yeah. Okay. So this game is, I think, going to be really, really, really interesting because Duke has been playing really great, relatively speaking, for the past, month or so. They come up against Oral Roberts, which is one of what, 16 games in a row, or how many games in a row? 20 games in a row? I don't even know. Max Abmas has tournament experience. I actually think here I'm going to go with Oral Roberts.
Yeah, they could definitely win it. I'll take Duke. I just have no idea personnel-wise how Oral Roberts guards Kyle Filipowski. I think he could just go off for like 30 and 20 in this game. But Oral Roberts is, they're definitely capable. I mean, Ace Smith is terrific. Connor Vanover, I don't know if you remember him from Cal, but he's like a 7'5", like
Yes, I do remember
skinny
him.
dude. Yeah, who shoots threes. And they've got Isaac McBride, who is a Kansas transfer. Who's had a very good year.
I
So,
feel like Oral Roberts, if they can contain Grant Nelson, they can contain Filipowski, no problem. So, okay. So, okay. Now we have a Tennessee, of all injuries, this is not getting quite enough attention, I think, with Ziegler out for Tennessee. They're playing Louisiana first round. I think they'll win this game, but it's kind of a weird situation. What's your pick on Tennessee here?
Yeah, I like the balls. A lot of what Louisiana does is they kind of just like throw it up there and have Jordan Brown and this guy Terrence Lewis go to work on the glass. And Tennessee doesn't get popped. They're a very good rebounding team and they're physical. So I think it's a bad matchup for the Raging Cajuns. But no, Ziegler, like I think that'll definitely hurt them in further rounds.
Okay, the Wildcats of Kentucky against the Friars of Providence game is in Greensboro. I know there's a lot of talk about how the Friars don't play that great outside of Providence, outside of New England. I kind of just, Kentucky went out in the first round last year and embarrassing to St. Peter's. I think that Kentucky is going to win a game or two in the tournament this year, so I'm going to go with Kentucky.
I like Kentucky here too. Providence is talented, but they're not playing great ball right now. They've lost 4 out of 5, and the only win is coming against Georgetown, who's terrible. So, not a great trajectory. Their defense hasn't been good. Like Xavier dropped in the stretch, like dropped 94 on them. Seton Hall, who's a bad offensive team, dropped 82 on them. They lost 82-58 to Seton Hall at home. So that was a really tough one. I think I saw on social media that their guys were like partying the night before. They were at some like concert. So not really sure the focus of this group. It's definitely the kind of game where Providence does have the talent, I think, to win. Devin Carter, I've seen him on some draft boards, albeit more in the like second round undrafted. Part of that, I think Bryce Hopkins will play in the NBA eventually, so that it could win if they're really focused. But I think Kentucky's is just the safer play here.
I have not seen it. I've actually saw, watched Montana State play a couple times this year because they played both Oregon and Arizona. particularly unimpressive against Arizona or against Oregon. Not quite as terrible against Arizona. Nevertheless, I don't see any reason to pick them over Kansas State.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, their best player is Raekwon Battle, who we saw at Washington. He was like the seventh man there. So I just it's just hard to see it, them pulling this off.
Okay, we picked Michigan State at USC early in the prior podcast. Marquette against Vermont. Vermont is a team that we've seen and seen up close. I think they're actually a team that the game is in Columbus. It's a team that I think could play decently against Marquette. But Marquette is a pretty fun offensive team. They got a lot of stuff going. Very talented team. If people haven't seen, I know because the Big East has just kind of a different television rotation than the other power conferences. But if you haven't seen them, their point guard Tyler Kolek is really skilled and does a lot of interesting things. I think they're just going to be too much for Vermont.
I think so too. Vermont is playing like much better ball right now, though. So I'm definitely picking Marquette, but Marquette doesn't have like a ton of NBA stars. Their defense is kind of suspect. Vermont has a good trajectory. They are 75th in KenPom over the last like month and a half or so. After starting out pretty poor, like when they played us, they weren't playing good ball, but they've really put it together in conference play, and they've won. They haven't lost since January 11th. So they've ripped off, let's see, this is 15 straight. So yeah, I mean, I would watch out. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Vermont hung for a little while, but I'm going to pick Marquette here too.
Okay, so second round games. Okay, this is a heck of a game. Memphis against Purdue. Last year in the second round, we had that matchup of North Carolina against who did they play last year in that second round?
Baylor, right? Baylor
Baylor, and I
won.
think a lot of people had already gone in picking North Carolina to beat Baylor for similar reasons that I'm going to pick Memphis to knock off Purdue here. I just the way these teams are turning, not that Purdue's been playing poorly, they just won the Big Ten tournament. But I just kind of feel like Memphis is the better team right now.
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking Memphis. Kendrick Davis, I think, against Purdue's like unathletic guards is going to get anywhere on the floor that he wants. Purdue's guards, which, Fred Fletcher Loyer and Braden Smith, they were so good early in the year at making shots, and they look like this dynamite offense with Edie, getting double teamed and these other guards making him pay, but they've cooled off a bit. They do struggle against pressure, and I think Memphis has some length and athleticism to maybe put the press on them for a few possessions. And yeah, like ultimately, like I don't think like Edie might be the best player on the floor, but I think Kendrick is right there with them. His he can get wherever he wants on the court. He's a great shot maker. He's an unbelievable free throw shooter. Just a total dynamite lead guard. So my biggest concern is Memphis is not good on the defensive glass, kind of like us. And Edie might just get like an offensive rebound in this game and get him through, but. If they can limit that, I think they're a little bit better than Purdue right now.
So this would be a golden opportunity if Duke wins their first round against Oral Roberts, because Tennessee, like we mentioned, is without Ziegler. Tennessee, one of the top five KenPom team during the season, but not having him, it really I think hurts them. I have Oral Roberts when you had Duke winning, right? The
Yeah.
first round. So are you picking Duke against Tennessee here?
Yeah, I'm picking Duke here. Like you said, the Ziegler thing is big. Tennessee's now lost two out of three with him out of the lineup. So that's and it's really affected their defense. Like, even though he's a solid offensive player, like he gets a ton of steals, and they gave up 79 to Auburn and then 79 to Missouri in the SEC tournament. So I'll take Duke. Like Duke's trajectory too. Like they won the ACC tournament, and yeah, they do look much better of late.
Yeah, and since I picked Oral Roberts, I think they would beat Tennessee here. So I'm going to go with Oral Roberts. Okay, Kentucky against Kansas State. I'm going to go with the Wildcats here. What do you think? Do you think the Wildcats are going to win this one?
I do like the Wildcats, yeah.
more specifically, I think this is, you know, Kansas State has definitely had the better season, but Kentucky's shown something. When they're not playing Vanderbilt, they've been kind of tough the last month or so. So their trajectory to me is pretty strong. I'm going to go with Calipari kind of having a decent tournament run here.
Yeah, I like Kentucky as well. I think Kansas State, they do have Keontae Johnson, Marquise Noel, and they've overachieved and all that. But Kentucky, I think, kind of top to bottom has better players. I think that one of the keys here is they do need Cason Wallace healthy, because if he's not healthy, Sabir Wheeler is just not that great. So we'll see how he looks coming into the tournament. But I think a lot of these teams, like Kansas State, right, they overachieved so much during the regular season and kind of played above their true talent level. And I think that's kind of the case here.
Okay, so you have USC here playing Marquette. I've got Michigan State playing Marquette. I have to say, if USC wins this, I do like SC against Marquette. but if it's Michigan State, I kind of like Marquette over Michigan State. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm picking SC. Maybe it's hard overhead, but I do like the matchup for us. Marquette's not the kind of team that beats up the offensive glass. So that's our biggest weakness as a team. They don't have a lot of NBA players that can overwhelm us with athleticism. I think, like, you know, Kobe will do his thing, and Boogie can hit enough shots. They're not a great offensive team. And kind of the matchup of the game, you know, the game would probably be determined by Marquette's two-point efficiency. So Marquette, they're not a great three-point shooting team. They're 137 in KenPom. They're fifth in the country in two-point percentage offense. And I believe USC is, let's see, they are second in the country in two-point percentage defense. So I don't think Marquette's seen, like, our length really in the Big East. Like, UConn's very physically strong, but they're not, like, a super long team outside of Andre Jackson. And then, like, Xavier's not a great defensive team to begin with. So they haven't really, I think, played a team like us in terms of the way we're built. So it's, I think, a uniquely good matchup for USC this round. So I'm going to pick USC.
Okay, moving over to the West. We have Kansas against Howard. I don't think either one of us thinks that Howard's going to give Kansas too much of a problem. Second round, Arkansas against Illinois. This is kind of an interesting game. You're not sure which version of these teams are going to show up. Arkansas has both these teams that are talented. I have to say, I think Arkansas is going to do enough here to get the win. And I do think this might be the point in the season where Musselman and his team start to show up.
Yeah, I agree. I like Arkansas. The other thing, too, is Illinois has been playing really good ball lately. They started the year 16-6, and they finished the year 4-6. So they've lost 6-10 here. And, like, some of those were to not great opponents. I mean, like, you know, road losses at Iowa, Penn State, and Indiana, like, they're not great. But, you know, they kind of have the same issue that Maryland does to an extent. They have trouble winning on the road. So they haven't won a road game since they beat Wisconsin back on January 28th. And, you know, their other road wins in league are Minnesota and Nebraska. And they did win that neutral game against UCLA back in November. But, they just don't have the best trajectory as a team. Even their home wins, like, they beat Northwestern by 4 points. They beat Michigan in double overtime. And they only beat Minnesota at home by 9. So just don't love that. And like you said, like, Musselman getting Nick Smith back is nice. And, you know, even without him, I think they're pretty athletic and they defend. So
now we should mention that, Arkansas has lost 4 out of 5 and, yep, you know, they are, I think 9-12 over the last 21 games. So it's not like they've been, yeah, tearing people apart either, but I just kind of feel like this is, like, the time for them to start showing up. Okay. St. Mary's against VCU. The game is in Albany. I really don't know what to. Part of the problem is I haven't seen enough of VCU. I guess I'm just going to go with St. Mary's here. I don't have a strong feeling on this one.
Yeah, this one is. I struggle with this one a lot. VCU is playing pretty good ball right now. St. Mary's is kind of like the analytic darling, right? But, you know, over the last month and 12 days here, VCU is 28 in Torvik and St. Mary's is 35. So even like the recent trend that favors VCU, St. Mary's doesn't really do it on the eye test for me. Like, maybe it's because I've only watched them in some of these Gonzaga games where Gonzaga just obliterated them, but I'm not seeing like a lot of, you know, St. Mary's against good competition this year hasn't really done all that well. So I guess I'm talking myself into VCU. But I know like all the media people are going to pick St. Mary's just because of their KenPom rating.
Yeah. And you know, you have to look at what launched that KenPom rating. They had a decently close loss to Houston in Texas. And then the game that like really kind of bumped them into the top 10 was beating Portland by 42 points at home. That always kind of, you know, that makes me a little, you know, like, is that really worth putting the team in the top because they beat Portland? I don't care how much you beat them by. I mean, Portland's not terrible or anything, but like, you know, beating Portland not necessarily should catapult you to that kind of level of status in KenPom. They did beat North Texas early in the season by 30 at home, and maybe that helps out. They beat Oral Roberts early in the season. They beat Vermont, so they have like some nice like out of conference mid major wins. They obviously beat San Diego State on New Year's. That was a big game for them. I don't have a great read on them. I don't think they're that tough, but I guess I'm going to put them over VCU, I guess. But you're picking VCU here?
Yeah, I'll take VCU.
Okay, exciting matchup here for the, you know, New York region, tri-state area. UConn, Iona, Rick Pitino obviously at Iona. I don't know if Rick Pitino is going to get the St. John's job next season or not, because I don't know if Pitino was really that desperate enough to take that job, but whatever the case, they're playing right now. I'm just going to go with UConn. I don't think Iona is going to have enough to beat UConn.
Yeah, UConn just has way better players, and they have their mojo back. Really like them in this spot.
Okay. Okay, so now we have TCU against the winner of another interesting playing game, Arizona State against Nevada. All right, so we've got Bobby Hurley against Steve Alford. Oh God, how can I forget the name Steve Alford? Okay, and two teams that are of interesting quality. This could definitely be a very ugly game. Oh, I'm going to go with Arizona State.
Yeah, I'll take ASU, I guess. I don't really have a great feel for it, though. I guess, like, Nevada, Jared Lucas is one of their better players, right? And
yeah,
ASU, you know, kind of was better than Oregon State over the last couple of years here. So I'll just pick them, I guess.
In either case, I have TCU beating them.
Yeah, me too. Just I really like TCU. And with Mike Miles in the lineup, they've been really good.
Okay. I think it would be fun to try to watch Grand Canyon stick around with Gonzaga. They might do so for a half, but I think Gonzaga is going to pull away and win that game comfortably.
I agree. Gonzaga's offensive, in the last like month or so, their offense has been like unworldly good, like even better than a lot of moments that they've had in the last few years. So I'll
take Gonzaga's. Okay, we have kind of an intriguing 7-10 game here between Northwestern and Boise State. I've been picking against Big Ten teams for the most part, but I'm going to go ahead and pick a Big Ten team here. I'm going to pick Northwestern to beat Boise State.
I will take Boise State here. I don't think like either of these teams are that great, but I do like, I think Max Rice is playing pretty well for him, and Tyson Degenhardt, I think, is probably the best player on the floor. And then I think if you just look at like, you know, the ESPN brackets. So over 60% of the people picked Northwestern, but Boise State's the better KenPom team. So kind of like a little, it's a good spot to, I think, pick them for a round, and maybe like gain a few spots in your bracket pool.
By the way, it's worth noting that Boise State has Chibuzu Agbo, who is a former Compton Magic kid that SC actually took kind of a hard look at, ended up picking Texas Tech. I don't know how hard we actually recruited him, but he was kind of an intriguing player coming out of high school from the San Diego area. And after kind of not really getting much time in Texas Tech, he's actually starting now for Boise. So keep an eye on him if you want for that game. I'm just going to pick. Okay, now I have to say, I'm assuming that on this game here, Nick, you're picking your number one player in the country, Drew Pember, to knock off UCLA. I mean, is that, am I correct here?
Chase, when I saw the draw, I was so upset because the Bruins are so good defensively. Like I could easily see Pember like bombing this game and going like 6 for 20 or something, right? But no, like Nick Cronin is not gonna like he's not gonna lose this kind of game. But Pember's such a fun player, and if he does drop like 25 on UCLA or something, it's just another sign of how good of a player he is, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Okay, second round here, Kansas against Arkansas. Okay, time for, even though Arkansas lost four or five games, I'm going to pick Arkansas to beat Kansas here.
I really struggle with this. I think at the end of the day, I'm gonna go with Kansas. I trust them a little bit more. I think Arkansas, they're just so up and down that they're hard to trust. And even with them getting Nick Smith back, they haven't done all that great, right? Like they've lost 4 of 5 with him back, and one of those games is a 3-point loss in Tuscaloosa. And the other losses are like at Tennessee, A&M neutral, Kentucky home. So they have played a very tough schedule in the back half of league play here, but I'll take Kansas to kind of just grind it out and get it done.
Okay, you have we both have UConn playing, but you've got VCU, I've got St. Mary's. I think it doesn't matter to me because I think UConn wins here in the second round.
Yeah, I like UConn. Don't think it's close.
Okay, TCU. Now TCU is playing without Eddie. What's his name?
Lampkin.
Lampkin. I think that might matter, and it's definitely going to matter. I have a feeling against Gonzaga. So, by the way, this is if there were absolute madness in the world, this could be Arizona State versus Grand Canyon. For those of you who don't know, those schools are about 5 miles apart. So that would be super fun if that was what the game was. I don't think there's a chance in the world that this is going to be that game. I think it's going to much more likely be TCU against Gonzaga, and I think Gonzaga is going to win.
I think this is going to be a very close game. TCU, I think, is built to match up with Gonzaga pretty well. They have a lot of size. They've got a ton of dudes in like the 6'6" to 6'9" range. They really play a lot like a lot of those Jamie Dixon Pitt teams back in the day. They're super similar, and Mike Miles is a very dynamic lead guard. I'm gonna actually go with TCU here.
Wow.
So when Mike Miles didn't play, TCU had a stretch this season where they were 1-4, and then he also missed time earlier in the year where they went 2-1. So they were 3-5 without him, including a loss in Northwestern State. But with him, they've been really good. He's their best player, can get to the rim at will. I think Gonzaga will have a lot of trouble guarding him. And Gonzaga's, they're not gonna punk TCU. Like I think it's a little bit reminiscent of the Arizona Houston game last year, where Arizona and Gonzaga are kind of the same team, right? In terms of offense being out of defense, Tommy Lloyd being a Mark Few disciple. But TCU, like they get a lot of turnovers. They're very physical. Often they get after the offensive glass. So I don't think Timmy can just walk into that matchup and go for 25 points. So I'm going to pick TCU.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Now, I think we have different teams here. I think I picked Northwestern. You picked Boise. They're going against UCLA. UCLA shorthanded without Jalen Clark. I think we're assuming the Dembona will play. I think based upon what I saw from UCLA the last couple of games of the tournament, I think they will beat either Northwestern or Boise.
Totally agree. I think the Jalen Clark thing is almost getting overplayed by the media. Because he was awesome in the non-con, but especially on the offensive end, he really slowed down in conference play. So I still trust this UCLA team a lot.
Okay. Although I think the Bona thing will be important as the thing as this tournament yes. goes on, I think. Okay. So let's go to the Sweet 16 matchups. Alabama, we both have in one game. You've got let's see, I have got Virginia, you've got
San Diego State.
San Diego State. The game is in Louisville. I like Alabama here.
I do too. Just too much talent, I think. Too much athleticism.
Okay. I think we both have Creighton, right? Both have Creighton make it to the Sweet 16. Yes. And I think we both have Arizona, right, making it?
Yeah.
So that would be a rematch of one of the games from Maui, I believe, right? Wasn't that the final of the Maui Invitational? Or was it a semifinal?
I think it was the final. Yeah.
Yeah. Which it was very close, by the way. Arizona did win, but it was not a it was 81-79 game. That's, you know, that's interesting. And the fact that the game is in Louisville, I kind of like, I don't like the way I look, saw Arizona finish up this tournament. I kind of like Creighton in that game.
I've gone back and forth on this game so much. I'm going to pick Arizona. But I don't feel great about it. It could go either way. It might be just like a repeat of that Maui game where it's down to the wire and, you know, someone hits a shot late.
Okay. Well, whoever the winner is plays Alabama. I'm going to pick Alabama out of this region.
Yeah, I like Alabama as well. They've been pretty consistently good this year. So I'll take the Tide.
Okay. So we have, we now have Houston going up against, I think you have Drake here. I have Indiana. Gosh, I don't really like this Indiana team very much. I do think Houston's primed though for an upset, but I'm gonna go ahead and pick Houston as the winner of this game.
Yeah, I like Houston. I just think both they have better players than Drake at the end of the day, and you know, presumably by then this is the second weekend. Southern will have another week of rest, so I like the Cougars here.
So, okay, I think we both have Texas in one of this in the game, and then you have Xavier. I have Iowa State, I believe, and I'm going to go with the game is in Kansas City. It's interesting. You know what? I'm going to be absolutely nuts here and pick Iowa State.
It's bold. Wow. I'm going to take Texas. Just combination of experience, and they're hot right now. I think they're more consistent than Xavier is defensively, and that's the difference here.
Okay, let me, before I lock in this pick permanently, let's just see how they did against each other this year. So Iowa State beat them in Ames, and then Texas won comfortably in Austin, and then they did not play again in the tournament, because this is like a perfect opportunity, I think, to pick up Texas as a Final Four team beating Houston. Sure. And I don't like to say Iowa State. Gosh, would that really be possible? All right, I'm gonna just make the crazy pick. I'm gonna pick Iowa State over Houston.
Wow. Okay. I like Houston. I still think Houston's being underrated by the media. I mean, they were clearly the top PenPom team this year. Their losses were a 1-point loss to Temple, where they just had a terrible shooting night. They went, they were 13-39 from inside the arc, 11-21 from the free throw line. So they just didn't have it, but defensively they're elite. They're all there. Sasser, I think, is huge too. And in the Memphis loss, like, A, I think Memphis is very good. And B, Sasser didn't play. He's their best player. He's a dynamite player on both ends, just a great lead guard. So, and then the third loss is to Alabama, right? Who's the number one overall seed. And Houston had that game and just didn't close it out at home. They were, even with a few minutes left in the game, at the 4 minute mark, they were a 70% favorite in KenPom in that game, and Bama just hit a few shots late. So I think we kind of have a very good Houston team that's hiding in plain sight here, and I think a lot of people are overlooking it. So I think Houston rolls here.
Okay, down to the East region. We both have Memphis in the Sweet 16. You have them against Duke. I have them against Oral Roberts. I'm going to go with Memphis there.
I like Memphis as well. I just think they have way better guards. Like Kendrick Davis he's awesome, but even Alex Lomax playing at a really high level, especially on the defensive end. I think they'll give Tyrese Proctor and Jeremy Rhodes fits. The one thing that I think Duke clearly has on them is they could just pound the glass with Filipowski and Ryan Young. I just trust them more. I think, Kendrick kind of wills it through.
Okay, you've got USC playing Kentucky. We both have Kentucky. You have them playing USC. I have them playing Marquette. Interesting matchups here. I'm going to go with Marquette ups. Even though I think Marquette would lose to USC, I think they're going to beat Kentucky Wildcats and make the Elite Eight.
I'm going to pick Kentucky over USC here, and it's strictly because they're the number two offensive rebounding team in the country, and we're terrible at the defensive glass. So, just a tough matchup for us, I think, here.
Okay, so here we go with the interesting matchup. We both have Memphis in the Elite Eight. You have them playing Kentucky. I have them playing Marquette. I'm going to go with Marquette to the Final Four.
I will take Memphis the Final Four here. Just think they have better players. And it shows up in the stats too. I mean, if you look at the last, since February 1st, I mean, Memphis is a top 10 team in the country, and they're good on both ends of the ball. And Williams and Davis, I mean, these guys are both elite box plus minus players. Their role players have even stepped up. I mean, Elijah McCadden's had his moments. Chandler Lawson's been like pretty good in conference play. I just think they're hot. I think Penny Hardaway is a great coach too. Like he I think once he figured out that he needed to get veterans instead of relying on these one and done freshmen, his teams are really taken off. I mean, they defend well. Like they in the year they won the NIT with Boogie, they were the top KenPom defensive team in the country. So he really gets guys to play hard for him. So I'll take Memphis to go to the Final Four.
Okay, heading over to the West, we have you have Kansas beating, I have Arkansas winning. This is kind of interesting. And then we have you playing UConn. We both have UConn. I'm going to go with UConn winning that one.
I like UConn as well. We saw how dominant they were early in the year, and since February 1st, they are the number two KenPom team in the country. So they have their mojo back, and great combination of talent and experience. So I like UConn too. It won't be an upset. They'll be favored over Kansas if they play Kansas, but I'll take them to win.
Okay. So we both have UCLA. You've got TCU. I've got Gonzaga. I'm going to pick UCLA to the lead eight.
I like UCLA as well. I think they're super physical. I think TCU could really like they could definitely beat UCLA here. I think they're like a little bit more dynamic athletically in some spots, but I'm assuming they get Bona back. I think Hawkes kind of wills them through in a really close game. So I'll take UCLA.
And then I'm going to take UConn over UCLA to get to the Final Four.
I like UConn as well. I think you just trust them more offensively. Like, they're a top 20 defense, but on top of that, they have the number six offense. They're physical. And I think UCLA will just have a, they haven't really played a super physical team. Oftentimes against these second tier teams, they can just win with their physicality and their toughness, but they won't be able to bully UConn. And I think UConn has a little bit more athleticism and skill wise, they're pretty close, but UConn has plenty of skill too. So
Okay,
give me the Huskies.
so we both have Bama and UConn in the Final Four. You've got Houston and Kentucky. I have got Iowa State and Marquette. Okay, first matchup, Alabama against either Kentucky or Marquette. Who you got?
So I've actually got Memphis beating
Oh,
Kentucky, for the
Memphis, not
last
Memphis.
class.
Sorry, not Kentucky. Memphis. I was wrong about. So let me restate that. You've got your Final Four is Alabama, Houston, Memphis, and UConn. Okay. Who do you got at Alabama, Memphis?
I'll take Bama here to end the Cinderella Memphis run. I just think they're a little bit too deep. Like, they can bring in that second unit and and they have like the high end talent, I think, to match Memphis too. So I'll take Bama to get through.
I have Bama winning two, so we both have Bama to the finale. I have them beating Marquette here. Okay, we both have UConn. You have UConn playing Houston. I've got UConn playing Iowa State. I'm just going to tell right away, I've got UConn beating Iowa State. Where are you at with Houston and UConn?
So I'm going to take Houston here. By now, if they're still playing, Sasser will be 100% healthy. And just to go on about this Houston team, I mean, like, not only do they have like an elite coach, but they have pros too. I mean, Jairus Walker is going to go in the top 5 to 10 in the draft. He's been shooting pretty well recently. So he's a threat. He really defends. He rebounds. He gets blocks. He gets steals. Very switchable. I think he can guard Sanogo if he needs to. I think he'll be totally fine against any of like Alex Caravan or someone like that. He can move his feet on the perimeter. So they're very switchable. Tremont Marks, a shot maker. Jamal Shedge is this kind of like money point guard who can really pass, get steals, hit some timely shots. And then, Houston also has the advantage of the Final Four being in Houston. Like, they won't have to travel for it in this case. So I'll take the Cougars to get to the title game.
Okay, we should be said that these two teams have already played this season, and the game was in Houston. Houston led for most of the game last 10 minutes. Alabama outscored Houston by 11 and ended up winning by six. Very close game. They've actually played each of the last two seasons. If you remember last season, not this past one, but this the season before, there was the controversy about the ball getting tipped in right at the
The
buzzer.
goaltends, yeah, goaltends. We
Yes, the
called the
goaltending call.
goaltend, yeah.
First time around, ish, a couple notes about the first time around. Namari Burnett was still healthy for Alabama. He was playing. He had a pretty good game. Again, he played 20 minutes, had a pretty good game against Houston. Back then, Quinterly really struggled in that game. Since then, Quinterly has had some, up and down games. He had a huge game against A&M in the tournament. The final, he had a huge game against Auburn and won that close game when they went into overtime. So Quinterly wasn't as good in the beginning of the season as he's kind of played more recently, but he's also had some up and down games. So we don't know where that's going to go. for Houston, the first time around, Sasser didn't really have a good game. He was 2 for 8 from the field. Walker actually was really strong the first time around. It's an interesting matchup. It would be, I think, probably the best final. I have, Alabama and UConn. I think this might be the best game if both teams are healthy. Who are you picking for your champion?
I'm taking the Houston Cougars to win. Again, they'll be at home, like you said. Like, it was a very, very competitive game. I was really impressed with both teams coming out of that. And like, they're both number one seeds for a reason, both well deserved. I think kind of the case for it is, Houston shot 12 of 22 with a stripe in that game. So they threw away a lot of points there. They only made three threes. But you know, Kelvin is such a good defensive coach. He held Brandon Miller to 0 for 8 from the field. And this isn't like a situation where Brandon Miller was like a, you know, young freshman and developed into his own over the course of the year. Brandon Miller was dynamite from the get-go, and Kelvin schemed that up against him. So, like Bama had 10 more free throw attempts than Houston as well. I just think home crowd behind them in a rematch, Sasser will hit a few shots, and the Houston Cougars will cut down the nets.
Okay, well, I don't have Houston even playing in the Final Four, so I can't pick them. I'm going to I got Alabama, UConn in the final for myself. I think both these teams are talented but flawed, beatable. Both of them are. UConn was obviously a very hot team at the beginning of the season, struggled in the middle, was have been strong as of late, but lost, you know, lost that kind of close game at the Garden to Marquette. I just think Bama's got more talent. I think they're a more talented team. But, you know, you get into a finale, and if someone doesn't hit their threes, that's all the difference in the world. That being said, I'm going to pick Alabama to win the national championship, not in football, but in basketball. So
All right.
there we go. I don't know if there's anything more to be said. Is there anything else we should cover before signing off? It's been a lot of podcasting today.
It sure has. It's cool that we had I think a lot of our picks overlap too. So I guess, you know, either we're doing something very right or we're doing something very wrong.
Right,
So
exactly. We're going to, you know, live by the desire to die by.
yeah.
Yeah, I think we say, look, some of it is I probably we just reinforce each other's opinions about certain things. And you know, I've already picked I, you know, wouldn't regardless of what I actually said on this podcast, I actually already filled in UNC Asheville to beat UCLA because of how good Drew Pember is. So it should be a really fun tournament. I'm hoping you're right about SC. I do think if SC can get by Michigan State and just like show that they're going to play at the level that they played like in the mountain schools or something like that, I think that SC can make a little bit of a run here because I do think teams like Marquette is a team like that is beatable, and Kentucky is beatable too, although they do have a lot of things that would make life a little difficult for SC. All right, anything else you got before we sign off?
Just one quick thought on SC. If you're an SC fan, I would root for Kansas State in the second round against Kentucky. I think that's a better matchup for them. So I think if you get Kansas State, it makes the Elite Eight path kind of all the more easy.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. We will, you know, I think if we beat, maybe if we if SC beats Michigan State, maybe it's worth having another podcast on Friday afternoon or something like that, just to talk about scenarios with Marquette. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, until then, fight on, everyone.
Right on.